This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله العظيم من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولا معبود بحق سواه ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله My dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As with any action that we do, it's very important that we have and we start our actions with good intention. And sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of the intention. And in this kind of situation, it's good to say, Allahumma inni nawaitu al-ilma wa ta'allum wa al-ifada wa al-istifada والذكر والتذكير ونذرت الاعتكاف ما بقيت في المسجد ونويت أن أكون في مجلس ذكر ومجلس مدارسة للقرآن وعلومه. To intend with this sitting that a person attains knowledge and attains benefit and attains a reminder and to sit in a gathering of reminder where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned and to remain and to have the intention of i'tikaf while a person stays in the masjid and also to be in that gathering in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a special gathering which if anybody were to actually stay in this gathering even with the wrong intention, or even with an absence of intention, it's so great, so powerful that a person will get the reward of that. And yes, today somebody might say, look, we've heard a lot today, it's been a long day, but let me leave. But subhanAllah, sometimes a person might spend a few minutes or an hour or so, and that hour might have such a big impact on his life, which I hope such a lecture would. Because once you are sitting in a gathering like this, a gathering which is encompassed with the angels, it's surrounded by angels. And it's not just surrounded by angels, but it's surrounded with angels who are constantly reporting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the summary of the angels is that they will say, oh Allah, we came from the people who were sitting and they were remembering you. And he will say, is it just that they were sitting to remember me or whether they have any other reason? They said, no, just to remember you. They asked their intention. But Allah said, but therefore I will have forgiven them everything. I have forgiven all their sins. When they leave, depart from this gathering, they are fully forgiven. A clean slate. They'll say, oh Allah, there is someone amongst them who didn't come for that intention. His intention wasn't for that. He's just there, you know, he had a different reason. Maybe he came to the masjid because he wanted to meet somebody or he had an appointment or he was passing by or something like that. But Allah says, وَلَهُ غَفَرْتْ هُمُ الْقَوْمُ لَا يَشْقَى بِهِمْ جَلِيسُمْ And even him I have forgiven because these are the people, they are the people. No one who sits with them will be miserable. And that's why today we're talking about a very important topic, which is the topic of the purification of the soul. Is such an important topic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to witness some of His greatest creation to make that reality clear to you. He swears by Ash-Shams and the Dhuha, the morning light of the Shams, and by the moon, and by the night, and by the day, and by the sky and that which has made it, and by the earth and that which has established it, and by the nafs, the secret of soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, and that which has made it balanced. By these 11 things, Allah swears to say what? To say, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا The one who will succeed is the one who purifies his soul. That's the success. And why are we here today? Why are you here in the masjid today? What is the reason for you coming to here to the masjid to pray? Are you not responding to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He is calling you, Hayya ala al-falah, come to success. This is what we are here for. We are here to seek success. We want to succeed. Because if we are not looking for success in the Akhirah, then we have lost. Our efforts would have been a waste. So if we are looking for success and Allah is saying to listen, this is where success is in purifying your soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. That's where it is. So therefore the Muslim should say, look, I need to understand more about this topic. I need to engage with this topic. I need to engage with this reality. And most of you are probably already engaging with this. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows how our level of engagements are. And somebody might be doing some things which he thinks is doing good, but he's missing out on so much. Because at the end of the day, we're all going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're all heading back to Allah. And Allah is going to stand us in front of Him and He will ask us directly. He will question us directly. مَا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. There is none of you except Allah will speak to him and her. They will be addressed directly. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ يُتَرْجُمْ لَهُ. There's no translator, there's no interpreter, there's no middleman. He will speak to you directly. And he's going to ask you, the Lord Almighty, the creator of all the heavens and the earth, whose arsh, his throne has encompassed the whole of the universe with all its galaxies and all that's outside the galaxies of the seven heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mightier and bigger than that. And he will speak to you, a small creature. And he will ask you directly, what have you done? What have you done? Did I not send to you a messenger? Did I not give you wealth? Did I not give you youth? Did I not give you time? Did I not give you blessings? And he will give you everything. And the person will say, yes, my Lord, you gave me. So what did you do? How did you interact with this? How did you use those things that I gave you? Did you seek this day? Did you fear this day that you will stand before me and you will return? وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear a day that you shall all return back to Allah. So قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى is about thinking about how will I be on that day. Will I be able to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will I be able to say to Allah, oh Allah, I did my best. I did this, this and this. I engaged with the message. You told me that success is in purification and I sought to purify myself. Well, did you really? Did you really understand the message of purification? Because how many of us come to the masjid? The epicenter, we can say, of purification, of purity. How many of us come here to the masjid? But our hearts are full of so much dirt. If they were to be put in a sea, they will turn that sea and make it dirty. Anger, misery, jealousy, envy, lust, love of dunya, hatred of death, all these things, greed, and so much things, selfishness, all these diseases in the heart. What did you do to purify yourself and your heart from these things? What did you do to purify your actions? Because it's one thing saying, I am a Muslim, O Allah, and I prostrate my head to you. Meaning that I submit myself to you. And even the ulama said, when you do ruku', the format of ruku', bowing, is almost like you're saying, this is my head, O Allah. Which is a form of, yeah, it's a form of humility. And that's why some of the Arabs, when they wanted to enter Islam, they came and they wanted to make a condition on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said, we'll enter Islam, but we're not going to do this ruku'. Because they saw that, they understood the mightiness of the humility. But obviously the salah has the ruku' because you are humbling yourself before Allah. So when you are submitting to Allah and Allah is saying to you, this is what is halal and what is haram. This is what is acceptable and this is what's not acceptable. Are you saying, well, yes, this is fine for other people, but for me I can do this. And I can engage in this. Oh Allah, your money is full of haram. Did you purify your money? Not just by giving zakah, because zakah is a purification, no doubt. But did you purify your wealth from all the means of haram? Of the stealing and the cheating and the haram, the riba and the other things that come with it. Or did you engage in those acts, thinking that maybe, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just forgive me all those things. Allah forgives, no doubt. And He forgives everything if you repent to Him. But He forgives you if you stop doing the bad action. And that's why tawbah is part of that journey to purification. Tawbah is part of that journey. And it's the beginning, if you like. It's the realization, the conscious realization that I need to change. I need to come back to Allah now, before I am pulled back to Allah. Because whether you like it or not, you are going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So either you go back like a good slave. You go back voluntarily. And you go back with a good aspiration and a good intention, a good action to present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you will be pulled back forcefully. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He mentioned all the creation, everything prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything prostrates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the trees, the animals. But when He came to the human, He said, وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Many humans prostrate to Allah. وَكَثِيرٌ حَقَّ عَلَيْهِ الْعَذَابِ. And many of them do not prostrate, so on them the punishment has become a reality. But the reality is they will be drawn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So purification, my dear respected brothers, is to make that conscious decision now that I'm going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to repent. I'm going to make a start now, today, by making that intention while you're sitting here in your own minds. Nobody needs to know. You don't have to move your lips even. You don't have to announce it, you don't have to write it, you don't have to sign anything. You make the intention that I'm going to stop all the haram that I'm doing. I'm going to get rid of all this anger that I have in my heart. I'm going to get rid of all those things that I have which maybe are deterring me and pulling me down. So that even your salah becomes pure, your salah becomes acceptable. You know, like Imam Ghazali, he said, you know, sometimes a person might prostrate to Allah, but his prostration only increases him distance away from Allah. They said, how is that? He said, because he prostrates to Allah, yet his heart is full of the dunya, the love of the dunya, love of the material. His heart is full of that, not full of the love of Allah. And the Arabs, they have a poetic symbolism, or it could be it's also a reality of somebody called Majnun, Qais. Majnun, and he was in love with Layla. And he was so in love that he was so detached from anything else except the love of Layla. And once he passed by, he walked, and there were people praying in the middle of the space, and he just walked in front of them. He wasn't paying attention, he just walked in front of them. After the salah, the people, they came to him and they were telling him, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you absent-minded? Are you mad? What's this? You walk straight in front of us, you didn't even care about us. You won't even think of us. He said, well, you know what? I was so detached, so in love with my beloved that I wasn't even aware of those things. But where are you? You claim that you love Allah and you are supposed to be in salah and you are thinking about me. You're observing me and you're seeing me. You're in salah, you should be attached to Allah, you should be focused on Allah. And this was him giving them a lesson in how they, those, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are you focused on Allah or are you focused on other things? So repenting back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that your heart, and then you have to start the process of purifying the heart. Starting with your heart and the actions inside. And today, I mean, this is just an opening because we cannot cover such a topic in not just hours, but we need hundreds of hours to talk to about. Because purification of a soul is not a lecture, it's not a talk, it's not a khutbah, it's not a halaqah, it's a way of life. And this is why it was the, one of the broadest missions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. هو الذي أرسل في الأميين رسولا هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم. It is he who has sent amongst the unlettered a messenger from them. What was his role? يتلو عليهم آياته. To recite unto them his verses. Secondly, ويزكيهم. To purify them. And then يعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. And then to teach them the kitab and the hikmah. So it's a system of life. And you have to therefore make that, you have to be on that road, that journey. So you have to go and then investigate and read what the ulama have said about all the diseases of the heart. All the things that are affecting your heart, all those things that are making your heart dirty. All those things that are weighing you down from getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned a few. And then you have to work on those things. Some people are afflicted with one disease more than others. You know, some people, they have no problem except that they are just liars, obsessive liars. Other people have no problems with this life except that they are afflicted with desires and lusts. They have to look at haram. They can't keep away from it. It becomes like a... Others are obsessed with just loving money. You know, they just have to, and every day they're looking again their mobile apps and mobile banking and just checking how much money they have and how much, you know, how many pence has increased in the last minute or two or whatever. And there are people who are obsessed with other things, competition. They want to be higher. They want their status to be high. They want more likes. They want more followers. They want more this, more that. Different people have different things. You have to identify what's wrong with you. Because if you don't identify the problem, you're not going to solve it. And purification of the soul, alhamdulillah, you know, the human is made of body and of spirit. And it is one of the ni'am of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the material realization of what the body is about, we can understand also the spirit. So like we understand that the body becomes ill and has problems, and we go to the doctor, and the doctor will have to make a diagnosis and have to think, what is your problem? What is your issue? And it's only after you have a correct diagnosis you can again then get the medicine. And so it is important for us to do that as well. So we can see what is our problem, and therefore we can start to clear it up. And our problem might be with many things. And even the ulama, they speak about these different issues. Things that can poison our hearts. Things that can make our hearts bad. And usually they summarize it into four things. And they are all excessive things. Because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the balance. He created al-mizan. The moment you disrupt the mizan, that's when you go into problem. So they talked about excessive eating. Eating too much is a poison for the heart. And we have so much a hadith, but the summaries of the Prophet ﷺ is like he summarized when Al-Muqawqas, the head of the Egyptians, he sent to the Prophet ﷺ a doctor, a medicine doctor, to advise the Prophet and to help them with the remedies. The Prophet ﷺ said, we don't need a doctor. We don't need a medicine because we, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ لَا نَأْكُلُ حَتَّى نَجُوعُ. وَإِذَا أَكَلْنَا لَا نَشْبَعَ. We don't need a doctor because we are people, we only eat when we are hungry. And when we do eat, we don't fill our stomachs. And today, the nutritionists of today say these are the essence of health today. you know, have a healthy intestine, you have a healthy body. And there are many other hadith. مَا مَلَأَ ابْنُ آدَمْ وِعَاءً شَرًّا مِّن بَطْنٍ. The son of Adam has not filled any vessel worse than his own stomach. And then they spoke about the excessive talking. Excessive talking, too much talking. The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, and indeed the prophets before them, they were people of action. They were not just people who just talked. You know, we have people who will give you speeches and talk and say and things like that. But the Sahaba were action. They were people who acted on what they did. And when you talk too much, you're going to make so much errors, so much mistakes. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he summarized everything for Mu'adh, Mu'adh is a nice hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he came asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about many things. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him about how to, the keys to entering Al-Jannah and to be pushed away from the fire, and what atones the sins, and how to come closer to him. Beautiful hadith. But then the Prophet said, shall I not tell you what encompasses all of those things? And it's almost like the crown on all of this advice. He said, Bala ya Rasulullah, tell me, of course. And the Prophet took hold of his tongue and he said, Amsik alayka hada. Hold back this. Hold back this. That is the summary of the advice. So when you talk too much, you're going to fall into all the problems that come with the tongue. And again, time is short to talk about these things. Okay? So excessive talking. Thirdly, excessive mixing. Mixing too much with people. Mixing too much with people is going to again lead you to engaging with people. Usually there's going to be problems with engaging with people. Again, there's the talking aspect of there, there's how you mix, there's the competition, there's people will actually afflict you and affect you with their different problems. You know, because end of the day, the friend or the companion, he will impose on you, directly or indirectly, his own behavior and his own character. And you can just try this. See, when you hang around with people who are bad-mouthed, you become bad-mouthed. And when you start to engage with people who are righteous and people who just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you remember Allah with them, because you have to do it. It's part of being with that company. So the excessive mixing with people will actually lead you to that kind of problem. So you have to engage in a balanced way as well. And lastly, excessive looking. And we're not just talking here about looking to the haram, but also just looking around. Because when you start looking at people and examining what they are wearing and what they are driving and how their houses look like and the different things, your heart starts to become attached to that. And it starts to becoming to one. You know, I could do with a nice watch like that, or a nice mobile, or a nice this, or nice. And that also affects the heart. So these are also poisons of the heart, which we need to learn and again find how we can cure, get ourselves. And also in the path to purification, we have to, like the body needs food, we have to also be nourishing ourselves with food. And we have to be nourishing us with all the beneficial food that's out there. And that's what the message of the Prophet ﷺ is there, to teach us about the nourishment of the food. What you will benefit, what is good for you, how you will, because that's the key. So the recitation of the Quran, the remembrance of Allah, to invoke and to send the blessings and the praise unto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Patience, fasting, all these things, all these acts of goodness, and the al-a'mal as-salihah, good deeds generally, all these things are beneficial for the heart, because they will strengthen the heart, because they will make you continuously engaged with the message of purification. And here it's important for us that we don't remain static. We're starting a new year in a couple of days, and it's a good opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us both the sun and the moon as indications of time. Yes, we, you know, Muslims have the Hijri calendar, but also the sun, the solar calendar, is also a calendar which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran when he said, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ And then in his end, he said, لِتَعْلَى, made the sign for the night, the moon, and the sign for the day, which is the sun. And then he said, لِتَعْلَى مُعَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ, so that you will know the calculation of the days and the years and the count. So there's nothing wrong with using this new year that we're starting as a time for us to put a plan in place. How much do you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much do you recite Quran on a daily basis? How much do you fast voluntarily? How much do you give of charity? How much do you do this and do that and do that? The majority of us don't have any plans. We just live our life like this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mouth of Luqman said, وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّكْ, have a purpose in your walk. Even when you are walking, you should have a purpose. Don't just walk like this, dazed and gazed, you don't know where you're going. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ, where are you heading? Allah says, you don't have a plan in your life? You don't know how much Quran you are reciting? You don't know how much dhikr? Or I'll just remember Allah a little bit after the salah. And the first thing that happens after the salah, the shaitan comes and distracts you. You don't even say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar. So you should have a plan. And a plan which is excessively increasing. So that by the end of this month, my aim is to fast this many days in this month. And finish the recitation of the Quran in these many days. And every day I'm going to be saying La ilaha illallah 100 times. And I'm going to send a salah unto the Prophet 100 times. And I'm going to be doing istighfar 100 times. And the Prophet used to do this. You know, he used to have these wird, these adhkar that he was continuously engaging in. But then to increase on that, so that you're always increasing. And even the salah on the Prophet ﷺ, the prayer, just praying on the Prophet ﷺ, is a great benefit for you. Even Ibn al-Qayyim, he counted 40 benefits of sending a salah unto the Prophet ﷺ. Again, time does not allow us. But in your quest to purification, you will find that out, that information. You will say, okay, let me find that information out because I need this. And these are beautiful things that you can do. Sadaqah, you know, even when you're giving charity, don't make your charity a lump sum. Some of us today, we have lots of money and we say, you know, when are you going to give charity? Oh brother, you know, I'm waiting for Ramadan. Ramadan comes, then I can give some charity inshallah. Because Ramadan is such a great month. Isn't it? It's a great month, I can give charity. What about the rest of the year? You're not giving. Sadaqah, the Prophet ﷺ was the most generous all the year. But he was most generous than any other time in Ramadan. But he was generous the other year. He wasn't, didn't stop being generous. So again, but have a continuous, you know, have a continuous charity. Maybe say, okay, I'm going to give £1 every day. Or give, you know, and then I'm going to up it a little bit. And then I'm going to do this. Alhamdulillah, there's barakah in doing all this. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, a topic like this is such a big topic. But this topic isn't about knowledge. It's not about here for me to give you, you know, what will happen if you do this. And what will happen if you do this. And how much reward you will get if you prayed this. And this I can't give. But this is something that you have to give. Because when you are seeking success, and you know that success only comes through purification of the soul, you have to make it your job. You have to make it your business to go and find out, how do I purify myself? And how do I make it part of my daily routine? That no day passes without me feeling that I am better. Not in an arrogant way or a pride way, but because you're not going to come and boast it in front of. There's no chart here with, you know, Abdurrahman and Muhammad and Ali and, you know, just writing who has done this and who's done that. Although there is benefit in competition in a good way. You know, that's why Allah said those people who give their charity in secret, but they give it out loud as well. But we're going to talk about that. So it is your mission, inshallah, to go and find out and to learn about all the things that will make you better, all these actions, and how you can make it part of your plan to get rid of all the bad deeds and to come closer to the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to control of your nafs. This is the end. This is the sort of the summary. Because When you look at the Quranic text and the Sunnah, it's like you now, the individual. You are three people, if you like. You are the body, the physical. You are the nafs. And then there is you, the controller. Now, you have a duty to yours, your physical body. You tell your body what it eats. You are the one who putting the food in your mouth. You're the one who is playing the exercise. You're the one who is moving. You're the one. And your spirit, you are in control, or you should be in control of your spirit. You are the one who will feed it. You are the one who will give it the poisons. You are the one who may put obstacles in its way, and so on and so forth. So you have, it's almost like you have to be in control of these. So this spirit, the soul, the nafs, whatever you call it, it's a complicated situation. But this thing out here, which if you do not control, like ulama mentioned before, this nafs is like a dog. It's like a dog. And a dog, even these big dogs, you see these people walking out where they have these big dogs, but they control their dogs. Say their dogs sit, they will sit. Okay? It doesn't matter how big the dog is. But that dog, if you don't control it properly, by controlling what it eats, by controlling its behavior, by making sure it knows who's boss, that dog will control you. And if that dog controls you, you start to become a follower. And what's the dog gonna do? What's the nafs gonna do? It's gonna take you to the shahawat, the lusts and the desires, because the nafs does, it likes the free life, the luxury, these things that come. And you're trying to prevent it, but now it's overtaken you. So there are ways to do this as well in the path of purification to soul. How do you control your nafs? Today, you might have seen a program called the Dog Whisperer or something. Dog Whisperer. The guy who goes out and teaches people how to look after their dogs. And there's people who train, people how to look after their dogs, how to control. And the nafs is no different. You need people to sometimes, you say, my nafs is taking control of me. How? You come to people like the imams and the shuyukh and, the ulama, and ask them for advice, and inshallah they will give you that advice. And that is the summary. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Remember I said to you at the beginning, we're all going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the beginning. And I ended with controlling the nafs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala summarizes this in Surah An-Nazi'at. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. And as for the one who fears a day when he shall stand in front of his Lord, because he knows he's going to stand in front of his Lord, وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى, he prevents the nafs from the desire, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى, he is the one who will reside in al-Jannah. It's as simple as that. Fear Allah, fear a day that you will stand for Allah, and prepare for that day, and prevent the nafs from the desires, you will be successful. I hope these few words have been useful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us and you with these words. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to change our lives for the better by planning our tazkiyah, planning our purification, so that inshallah ta'ala, this time next year, 1 year later, if we're going to review ourselves in 1 year later, but although we should be reviewing ourselves continuously, but when we can put pit stops for our review. When we review ourselves, we can say, Alhamdulillah, we are better now. We've achieved something better. But not to be proud as well. Be careful. Don't be proud that you say, I've achieved, Alhamdulillah. Because that's what the shaitan wants you to be, to think that you've reached your goal. And then once you've reached, when you think you've reached your goal, then he'll give you a slap in the face and then he'll put you back in. So make sure you are always reviewing yourself and never be pride. Imam Ahmad, what a great man he was. And even on his deathbed, he was dying. And they were saying to him, Imam, say la ilaha illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. Or la ilaha illallah. It's an encouragement for the person who is dying. He was saying, la, la, no, no. So he would faint. And then he'd wake up and then, no, no. And then after a while, when he regained his conscience, he said, what were you saying? We're saying to you, say la ilaha illallah. And you're saying, no, no. He said, when you are saying la ilaha illallah, the shaitan came to me. The shaitan came to me, appeared to me. And he said to me, "Oh Ahmed, najawta minni ya Ahmed. You have escaped me, oh Ahmed. You've got away from me. That means, khalas, you're dying. And that's it, I can't do." So I was saying to him, no, not yet. I'm still there. Because the shaitan wants you to have that false hope. That yes, khalas, I've achieved. I've purified my soul. I've reached there, I've reached the top. And once you think you're there, you change into a whole different atmosphere. You start to think your pride, you start to look at others, and you start to dictate as if you are the pure one and everybody else is worse than you. So be careful of that as well. That's also part of the journey of the purification, to be aware of that, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and bless you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and from you. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair.